Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Welcome to episode 140, Tom, g'day.
140, that's pretty good. Didn't realise we were getting up there.
We're going really well.
Good job us.
Social distancing, high five, so we just clap.
Yep. Coming at you live and large like a pirate today because I got a headache sitting right behind my left eye. So I'm doing that weird pirate.
Do you think it's like some sort of migraine thing?
Fingers crossed it isn't.
Yeah, exactly. They are not. Have you had them before?
Yeah, I get bad migraines. So I've had enough Nurofen to take down a bear.
Yep.
And we'll see if that sits.
Shouldn't be too many issues with bears today Sydney.
We should
be okay. Yeah. Well, we've got quite a lot of news. Comic-Con happened.
Yep.
Lots to talk about. I've got bits and pieces. I've watched a couple of things. And we're back to a quiz again this week.
Nice.
So
I've got an appreciation of Tom for us.
Last week was Tom Holland. Who will it be this week? Only time will tell.
Stay tuned.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Get your sneakers on and start training because we are 1 month away from the Watchersville Marathon. Marion Baker is organising several sensibly distanced running groups. Each will jog off at different times on different days, sticking to different routes. We are told places are filling up fast, but there's still plenty of spots left for the 3 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday morning groups. They run through the graveyard, around the sewage treatment facility, and the abandoned nuclear power plant, so sign up today. We're being asked not to go outside and take photos and videos of the upcoming cyclone, tornado, and hurricane event. While scientists admit this is a one-off, impossible natural occurrence, authorities are begging citizens to stay indoors, as they might end up in the air being swirled around rather fast, which will make you feel pretty dizzy. Instead, they have suggested watching both Twister and The Wizard of Oz if you want to know what it'll look like. Voting has begun in the Best Bill Murray Movie Poll. All 65-ish films are on the ballot, and all you have to do is pick your top three. That is your all-time number one tip-top favourite of his film. So either What About Bob, Groundhog Day, or Lost in Translation gets 3 points. Second two, then your third pick gets 1 point. Results should be known by 5 p.m. Sunday arvo. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. All right, give us the best that you've found, the best news from Comic-Con over the weekend.
All right, so Comic-Con was a real mixed bag for me, I'll be honest. There were some cool parts, but it was also very depressing. It was a bold reminder of what we're missing out on. And look, the reaction to it was reasonably favourable, but it was clearly a lot smaller than they were hoping for. A lot of the panels averaged about 15,000 views on YouTube, which is very small when you consider that a minor viral hit is in the millions and this sort of stuff. And apparently the social media mentions were down 99% on what they were last year.
Oh, wow.
But on the flip side, most of the big people didn't appear in any way because they are doing their own online panels at some stage or doing their own things. So the biggest winners were Bill and Ted.
Because Keanu.
And you know, they rolled out a new trailer and they gave a firm release date, all this sort of stuff. That was great. Walking Dead did a big panel and there was lots of news from that. The highlights of that being that the finale of season 10, which should have happened, will be happening on October 4th.
Excellent.
The premiere of Walking Dead World Beyond happens directly after that on October 4th.
So that's the limited two-season series?
Yes. Yeah. And then the following week, we will have the World Beyond and Fear premieres that week as well. They've also said that when Walking Dead comes back proper, there's going to be 6 episodes that are going to be an additional to season 10. And they will come back for season 11 proper at an appropriate time.
Okay.
I feel like this has kind of really tripped up their momentum.
Yeah.
And in order to let the other two series play out, they're going to have to rejiggle some planned time jump or something that we're going to do. Very interesting to see, and we'll keep our eyes on that. The Boys was the other big winner of the weekend, I reckon. Season 2 kicks off well, very soon, early September, maybe August. I can't, it's not long.
Yeah, we got to keep our ears out for that.
That's right. Yeah. So they showed a clip from season two. Now you might remember The Deep from season one. He's kind of meant to be like Aquaman, and there were all sorts of mishaps that he found himself in involving. At one stage, he tries to liberate a dolphin from SeaWorld in a bus, and something comes out in front of the bus at the wrong moment, and he slams on the brake, and the dolphin goes flying through the windshield.
Should have had a seatbelt on. But it's hard to get a seatbelt on buses, so I understand it's a
whole
problem.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, see, this clip from season two saw the boys in a speedboat fanging it on the water. We don't know why. And as they look back, they see shark fins starting to come up from the water, and they're being surrounded by all sorts of sea creatures. And then a whale breaches next to them. A blue whale breaches next to them, and the deep is right in the back. And he actually looks heroic for once. And it's like, oh, boy, how are they going to get out of this? Yeah. And then the whale goes back under the water, comes up, and the boys are beelining for a very thin drain. They're going to try and go up like a water duct. The whale gets in front of them, comes up on the beach, and stops in front of the pipe. And the boys all look at each other, and then Butcher just slams on the accelerator, and they drive into the whale.
It's Moby Dick stuff right there.
And it explodes everywhere.
Oh, no.
And the deep just looks so upset because, again, he's caused the death of what he's supposed to be protecting.
Damn, all right.
So that was awesome showing that. And then they proudly announced that they've been picked up for season three.
Awesome.
The same thing happened last year. They announced season two before season one had even aired. Mm. And I think there is a big there's a lot to be said for doing that.
Mm.
In these sorts of streaming series, because you can get very invested, and then you might find out that there's not going to be another season or something like that. You know, it gets cancelled. They don't finish the story. We know that no matter what happens, there's more of this coming.
Awesome.
So
good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jurassic World 3 didn't really have a big presence, but they were sharing some news and stuff. So yeah, Jurassic World 3 Dominion, that's what it's called. But the news that got me quite excited is it's going to have the most animatronic dinosaurs in any Jurassic Park film yet. And that's great because the CGI ones are cool, but you can still sit down and watch Jurassic Park 1 today and the dinosaurs
looks great.
Look amazing.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Because so many of them are real.
I mean, what I love is that photograph of Steven Spielberg with what kind of dinosaur is it? The one that's lying down. It's supposed to be the mother.
The Triceratops.
Yeah, and someone goes, oh, Steven Spielberg has murdered this creature. Yep. It's like, it's not a real thing.
Yeah,
it's like a dinosaur.
He's a hunter.
And, yeah.
Yes.
So back to that sort of stuff. Do you know, was there any information about whether they were getting the original people who worked with the animatronics for?
So Stan Winston, his company has done most of them, I think. Mm-hmm. And I imagine he's doing that. He's passed away since. But it will be fantastic animatronics. And they did use bits and pieces of them in the last two Jurassic Worlds where appropriate and this sort of stuff. But I'm a huge proponent for using real animatronics. Mm. I think animatronics are the coolest thing.
Mm. Mm. And they're actually there.
That's right.
Yeah. Because when I think about stuff like the little reworks that George Lucas did in about the late 90s, maybe early 2000s.
Oh, where he went and added
added CGI stuff.
The stormtroopers riding on a lizard called a dewback.
Yes, all that sort of stuff where you're like, I don't know.
What have you done, George?
Yeah, why? And we knew even at the time that that stuff was going to look dated.
Mm-hmm.
And
it did really, really quickly.
Yeah.
A bit more Comic-Con stuff. So Back to the Future, the trilogy, is coming out on 4K. Which in itself is very cool, but somehow they've discovered more extras that haven't been shown before. And I thought I'd seen everything of that film. Like, I've watched all the footage of Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, the 4K is coming with footage of Ben Stiller's audition and Kyra Sedgwick's audition.
Did not know about Ben Stiller.
Me neither. I knew about Kyra Sedgwick. I'd heard that she'd been in contention, but I had never heard about Ben Stiller.
Wow.
That's cool.
So he was Marty?
Yeah, I believe
so.
Really? Unless he's Biff or George.
That's crazy. He's young. Is he younger than?
He's about the same age.
Wow.
I mean, he had the Ben Stiller show in the early 90s. It was very much Rage Against the Machine movement era.
That's amazing.
Yes. Hmm. So I am very keen to check that out.
I wonder how keen he is.
He'll do well getting that out there. And probably isn't a great audition, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. And, like, the one other thing that came out from Comic-Con that had me pretty amped a while ago, probably a year and a half ago, you and I talked about how Simon Pegg and Nick Frost had worked out some sort of deal with Amazon and things were going to be coming up. And we didn't know exactly where this would be. Well, they've got a show coming called Truth Seekers. Yep.
A show, not a movie.
No, it's a series.
Okay.
Nick Frost is the main character, and he is a paranormal investigator. Big bushy beard, looks like an insane guy who lives in his mum's basement sort of thing. Has a team of people around. I don't know exactly who Simon Pegg's playing, but it looks like he's some sort of government official or scientist with not. This looks like a really fun, not a comedic X-Files, but that sort of vein. And I'm sure they're going to discover some actual truths.
Yeah, I reckon so too. And I kind of like the more you're talking about this, the better the idea of it being a series than a movie sounds.
Well, it means they can do an episode about mummies and an episode about ghosts and, you know, all sorts of things jumping
around.
There's
going to be a werewolf in there for sure.
Well, you know, and I look forward to them having a very in-joke zombie episode.
Yep.
You know.
You might see a few cameos from the movie.
I could see them having Nick Frost be Ed in a shed somewhere, dead zombie playing a video game.
That'd be awesome.
I
don't know.
But yeah, that I think there was a date. I can't remember when. I didn't write it down, but I was like, oh, I'll be there for that.
Fair.
Amazon Prime.
Still hung up on who shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
There's been a lot of news out and about, you know, with Comic-Con or just like you said with the surrounds. I saw a little bit of info about Thor Love and Thunder came out. Taika Waititi said that it sounded exactly like what Robert Kirkman said about the Walking Dead movie. This time has given them extra time to write, rewrite, you know, massage the script a bit. Natalie Portman's still locked in. She said that they haven't started filming, which we knew. They're going to film in Australia, so she's going to bring her whole family out. And she said it gives her more time to get jacked. She hasn't started yet.
Do you think when Natalie Portman comes with her family to Australia and she needs to buy some clothes for hanging out, will she shop at Portman's?
I really hope so.
Did you know I was going there like three words into that sentence?
Well,
I made the face.
The beginning I was like, is this got something to do with Byron Bay? And then I was like, oh, no.
I made the face of, hey, look, watch this setup.
Yeah, this is gonna be good. So that is now, it's been penciled in for a February 2022 release, I think, at the moment, which even that feels like a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
If they're going to film at the beginning of next year, that's a quick turnaround.
The only reason why I can see them getting that quick a turnaround is because there's been this period of films not filming, all the animation graphics places aren't going to have a backlog. So they may be able to jump into projects very quickly.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. Oh, I got excited. I saw that the Witcher, which they're filming, I think they're starting filming in a couple of weeks. Well, starting back up filming of season two.
Did you watch Henry Cavill build a PC?
Yes.
Did you need a moment afterwards?
I loved the music that he chose. That made me laugh.
It was sexy.
I wonder what the first game he played on it would have been.
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't say, did it?
I know, but I can tell you now, the new edition of Warhammer came out over the weekend.
So he's busy?
He hasn't posted anything yet, but he will, promise.
If you do get another chance of having a look at that video, just have a look at the curtains. They're very un-Henry Cavill. It feels like he's done it at his nan's house.
Oh, it did look like he was staying at someone's house.
Yeah. It really did. Anyway, Netflix, I doubt very much Henry Cavill's going to be in this one, but they're doing a prequel. It's just going to be a limited 6-episode series, and it's called The Witcher Blood Origin. So it's about the elven civilization, which, and you know, before its fall, because there's some weird things about the elves.
Yep.
And also the story of the first Witcher.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that.
He may not star in it, but you wait. He'll have an EP role on that or something. Like, He championed Witcher getting made for Netflix. He'll have a hand in this one somewhere.
I think if they can get this between season two and whenever season three is going to be, which I assume is going to be a year later, that's just going to continue the hype and he won't have to build another gaming PC.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind doing it, though. God, I love that man.
It's so funny.
I nearly got to hang out with him.
What?
Or a guy I used to work with, my good friend Lee. He went to school with Henry Cavill, or like went to uni with him or something like that. And they got really drunk in Transylvania once and all this sort of random stuff. But he's like, yeah, he's been that big a nerd all the time. And he said, you two would be best friends.
Wow.
And he's like, not just in that general stereotypical way of like, oh, you're both nerds, you'll get on. He's you're both very excitable about particularly niche objects.
So the same niche objects you guys are. Mm. Oh, we're going to, I say we, I don't know how I would, but we're going to have to try and get this.
I'll pop you in my backpack. You can come with.
Okay, great.
You can pop out at an appropriate time.
Your wing friend man, you know, looking for friendship.
Oh, you can be like a crazy hanger on my back. Hello. Hello, Henry.
and then push you in front because you look less crazy
than
me.
Can I see your plastic miniatures?
Oh, you were speaking about Umbrella Academy before.
Mm.
Well, remember Kristen Bell sort of dropped out of, what was the show called? Central Park, that animation show from Apple TV?
Maybe.
We did good high voices then. Anyway.
Rumor.
Emmy Raver-Lampman from Umbrella Academy is now voicing that character.
I heard a rumor she'll probably do a good job.
See what you did there. Very
Thanks.
Good. Yeah, I reckon she'll be awesome. I mean, she's from Umbrella Academy, therefore already gets the thumbs up from us.
I might have something about Umbrella Academy a little bit later, but we'll get back to that.
Okay.
I have two pieces of news left. Have you got any more?
I've got one.
All right. Well, I'll jump in with one. Sonic the Hedgehog, which is currently the number two film of this year. Is greenlit for number two coming in 2022.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of animation involved in that, so I can understand why that would take a while.
And they're allowed to because they were going to put out a rush job for the first film and then they paused and listened to the fans and went and fixed that film and everyone rewarded them for doing so.
Yeah.
So I think it behooves them to take their time with
Great
this bit.
Use of that word.
Thanks.
I don't actually think I've ever said that word out loud myself. Would I be allowed to?
It would behoove you.
Behoove?
Consider yourself behoven.
Okay, that's really good.
I went through a period many years ago after Austin Powers came out of going around going, oh, behoove at people, and they did not get on board.
It's really funny how for ages any Austin Powers reference or whatever, people were like, yeah. And then it kind of stopped, and the only thing that people now sort of say is, get in my belly. But I feel like the people that say it don't know where it's from.
I still get a lot of $1 million.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
of course.
That's hung around.
Yeah.
I think that one's stuck in the same way. You can still kind of get away with it. My wife.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that's like,
yeah.
But you'll allow it. Contextually.
Exactly.
Don't be jealous. They've been chatting online with babes all day. You're listening to We Are The Watchers. I've also been chatting with babes all day. Yep, online.
Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy are doing... So this is a long and convoluted story. This movie that they're working on with Netflix now was originally at Paramount in like 2012. Tom Cruise was attached to it. So Skydance, the production company, you know, they like Netflix and they've done stuff. They've got it. So... they're moving it over to Netflix like they did the Old Guard, Six Undercover. You watched that one, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, you liked that one.
Underground Six. I did enjoy
that. Yeah. Underground Six. Yeah, yes. Right. Anyway, so this one is about a bloke who has to travel back in time to help his 13-year-old self from doing something. I think it's a butterfly effect kind of thing. And together they encounter their late father. So Ryan Reynolds and 13-year-old Ryan Reynolds encounters their late father, who's now the same age as Ryan Reynolds' character. I don't know who that's going to be, but apparently it's an action thriller.
So we're going to discover that his father's in the loop too, right?
I reckon he has to be, right?
And he's going to discover that he's his own father.
He's his own father. Yeah. It's called Our Name is Adam. So if they're all called Adam...
Oh, okay. I remember that. And Tom Cruise dropped out because he went and did Edge of Tomorrow and he said one time loop at a movie at a time. And I think he picked the right one there.
That one I only watched a few years ago and I really liked it.
It's worth a revisit.
Is that Emily Blunt?
It sure is. Yeah. Sure, and the sequel for that is still on the cards.
Cool.
But yeah, I've rewatched that earlier this year. Mm. Really, really does hold up.
It is a good movie,
up.
Isn't it? Yeah, like even I can't believe you said it was 2012-ish because to me the CGI looked great. Amazing. So this is going to be a Netflix movie, so we'll all get to watch Ryan Reynolds play himself against himself against himself.
Yeah, and Sean Levy, I believe, directed Free Guy, which is the video game adaptation. And he did Night at the Museum. So Sean Levy,
he's done stuff. Don't you worry.
He's good with me.
Yeah.
His stuff is always... It's reliably funny. It's not the funniest. It's not like Eric Andre or that stuff that destroys me funny, but it's always enjoyable.
You can enjoy it with other people as well. Yeah. Like it's really approachable comedy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And look, sorry to end on a bit of a bummer, but and from the things that should not surprise anyone, but Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios has been cancelled, and that is a real bummer for a lot of people because those guys started working in October last year. Maybe even before then. They generally have like a 15-month turnaround for an event. So they start before the all this sort of stuff. So feeling for those guys because, you know, do they if they can't do this year, do they just start working for next year and set things up for that?
Maybe instead of completely, you know, coming up with a brand new idea for next year, maybe they can make this year's bigger and better.
I imagine that when they can do it again, it is going to be a big greatest hits. And they're going to pull back.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah.
They'll bring back their biggest ones from over the years. Like the American Horror Story one was huge and Walking Dead and yeah.
Speaking of America, I know the US is like Halloween is probably the biggest there, right? Like I can't think of another country that celebrates Halloween as much as they do. No. I really hope for everybody there that they're able to celebrate Halloween to some sort of capacity by October. Because how do you trick or treat? You know what I mean? Like, how do the kids do it?
It's going to have to be individual lolly bags.
Yeah.
That you leave out the front.
Yeah.
Wave through the door.
I guess.
But hopefully by then everyone's well conditioned to wearing masks. So.
That's true.
You know, it's just another thing.
Yep.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We've got...
The Tom Appreciation segment. I mentioned, you mentioned Umbrella Academy earlier. And so I thought this week, because Umbrella Academy is coming back this week, like Friday, I think.
Yes. So
it ain't long.
This episode will be out before the Umbrella Academy episode, but at least we know what we're doing this weekend.
That's right. So I thought we should talk about Tom Hopper.
Good choice.
Thanks. He plays number one, aka Luther. You may have seen him previously in Game of Thrones playing Dickon Tarly, who gets roasted by a dragon.
That's right.
He refuses to kneel.
He was Sam's brother.
Correct.
Who
was played by someone else earlier in the season.
I think so, yeah.
And then got replaced just for those couple of episodes because they needed someone big and burly who looked like an alpha male to get treated very poorly.
Yeah, by Daenerys. And speaking of big and burly, even without because he seems like a tall guy, without the big
he's quite tall
mask.
And he wears a huge prosthetic suit for Umbrella.
I've gone on to – because I went on to all of their different Instagram accounts. You remember when they did that video where they were dancing together? I went on to all of them and the majority of his stuff is just him working out. So he likes to keep really fit. Yeah.
I think it has served him very well. So he was on Merlin for a couple of years.
He joined.
I think he came in season 3.
I've seen that show.
I don't know. It's a bit of a guilty. I haven't watched it in years and it was not something I followed religiously, but I watched a couple of episodes in a block and this sort of stuff. Anyway, the plug that I would like to give him for go and check out stuff, you can't watch yet. So sorry about that because he's still on the rise. Mm. But you'll be able to check out Umbrella Academy this weekend. So there's your plug. But the future plug, I was doing some flicking through his IMDb and he has got a role in The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Now, you might remember 2017 there was The Hitman's Bodyguard, which was Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson.
Yep.
And Samuel Jackson was a hitman that hired Ryan Reynolds to be his bodyguard and they end up becoming friends throughout the film. This one is a continuation of the story. Salma Hayek is Samuel Jackson's wife and she gets kidnapped by the mafia and so the two of them got to come together and go and save her.
please tell me she's going to get to say some funny, you know, like I'm thinking Dogma sort of character.
Oh, sure. Something out there.
Yeah. I hope they give it. Because the last thing I saw with her in it, I thought it was going to be really good. I can't remember what it was called, but it had Alec Baldwin in it and they were playing husband and wife and they suddenly became broke. And I thought, these two are funny. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a really funny movie.
No.
No, it was terrible. I watched the whole thing just because I was like, surely with these two. No.
Nah. So that film, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, is coming out August 21st. Sorry, August 21st, 2021. Oh, it was okay. Coming out August right. 21st this okay. year. So I was, we were going to be, but now it's been pushed back the full year.
That's okay. Just like we'll just watch Umbrella Academy a couple of times.
That's right. Yeah. So there you go. I can now move Tom Hopper over to the category of talked about in my notes because I have quite a list prepared of Toms we can appreciate.
I bet you do.
In the Tom appreciation segment.
That was good because that saves me from having to put any sound effects or music underneath. We've done it.
And we won't have to pay for anything.
Yeah. Gosh, that works out so well. Let's talk about some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Have you been doing more movie or TV watching? I think the movie with Selma Hayek and Alec Baldwin was called Drunk Parents.
That sounds right.
It was so not great.
No.
I was really...
I don't watch that thing with Alec Baldwin. I know everyone loves him from 30 Rock. But
I think that's why. I think he was so good in 30 Rock that you watch him in anything else and it's just like...
He's a trash person. Trash dumpster fire person.
I still remember his voicemail, yeah.
You saw the Alec Baldwin roast, didn't you?
I saw bits of it, yeah.
His daughter.
You spoke about it and I saw bits of it, yeah.
His daughter went in.
What's her name, Island?
I think so. Yeah. All right. So I've seen two, well, one's a television program, one's a movie, but via a streaming service.
Nice mix, that counts.
Should I go or should you go? Who?
I did the last news story. I think you should do the first watching suggestion.
All right. Well, I talked about this last week that I was going to watch it. I don't know if you did watch it or not, but there was a new movie on Netflix called The Old Guard.
I already know. That's what you were going to say because guess when I remembered about that? Last night at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And I didn't watch it.
That's all right. I handled it. So that's Charlize Theron.
It's supposed to be really good.
I really enjoyed it. It's not... I think if I'd paid to go and see it at the movies, I'd be like, yeah, it was good. But at home, it was good fun. It falls into the trap of it is clearly like next time the action really begins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a kickoff of a franchise. And like, hey, he's the new character for the – basically, they are a small team of – I won't say mercenaries, but they are soldiers not even for hire. They just kind of –
Is it set modern time?
It's completely modern today. But we very quickly learn that the Charlize Theron and these three guys die all the time, but something stitches their wounds together and keeps bringing them back. Hell won't take them, whatever. They just keep getting kicked back in.
Okay.
There is no explanation given. It is up to you as to whether it is supernatural or whatever it is like this.
Okay.
And there is a character who, a military soldier, a young female who we witness die and then come back.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, does the team go and get her? They have not – they're essentially immortal.
Mm.
Two of the characters killed each other in the Crusades.
Okay.
And killed each other for many years until they fell deeply in love.
Oh, right. So there could be a prequel involved then.
We get a few flashbacks through there. So that's a homosexual couple.
Okay.
And it is like it's a scene lifted directly from the comic. And Greg Rucka, who wrote the comic, one of his deals for selling the rights was this scene goes in as
yeah, right. Okay.
It's very, very important to it.
Have you read the comic?
I have.
Cool.
So it's only – well, there's 5 issues of the series one, which this one is based on, and series two, I think there's one issue left to come out or something like that. That started last year. And so there's more story for them to adapt on and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, there's that. There's one character who's maybe only been at it 200 years. So I know that sounds crazy.
It almost sounds a bit vampire-ish.
This film – is very clever in that it is the flip side of every other time you watch a film about an immortal, it's how awesome is this? I can't die. I can save the world. This Charlize Theron, her character, may have been at this for 2,000 years and wants to die.
She's over it.
There is like we end up getting some justification later in the film as to why her character and these people are so important. And it turns out that they have been hugely influential on some key events in history, but not in the way you'd think. So I won't give that away. It's a cool thing. But
so what did you think of her? Like, because people were saying she was really good in it.
Look, she kicks a lot of ass, and the world weariness of Furiosa is in there. I also caught a lot of, oh, my God, what's it called? Not, was it Aeon Flux? No.
Oh, what was the one she did? Yeah, it was almost like almost a Matrix-y kind
of. Yeah.
Let me look it up. It was from the early 2000s.
Well, it was that one, but there was one a few years ago as well. Like 2017,
really?
That might have been a Netflix movie as well. I think it might have been Luc Besson. I can't
remember. Let me look her up. So you reckon about 2017, not Atomic Blonde.
Yes, Atomic Blonde, yeah.
Atomic Blonde. The one I was thinking of was
it's going to
the
be
one
Aeon
you
Flux.
Mentioned.
Aeon Flux.
Yeah, Aeon Flux.
So she's
yeah.
done a couple of these sort of
yeah.
very big flashy roles before. This one, her character is a lot more subdued and pushing forward the other characters and stuff. Mm. And it has that Netflix are very good at hiring international actors so that the show will be popular all over the world. And so they're guys.
It's a good tactic.
If you've watched any Israeli dramas, then you're going to see someone from there pop up. Or,
yeah, right.
An Italian actor. And I'm not going into it because there's some cool reveals and surprises okay. and stuff in there. But it was a good way to spend 2 hours. I enjoyed it. I'm sure there will be a sequel someday, maybe. Netflix isn't huge on doing sequels to their action movies.
But there has been talk about some of their bigger movie deals coming up, like the one with Chris Evans.
Yes.
And Ryan Gosling. Like that's a bit of a...
And I did a bit of digging into why these ones that are clearly wanting to start a franchise don't always get their second film and don't always continue. Because the star of the film doesn't get the usual back end deal of if it performs well in cinemas, they get extra money. They'll quite often, like Ryan Reynolds gets maybe $25 million on top for any Netflix movie he does. Mm-hmm. And that's a great deal for the first film. But then all of a sudden they've got a lot more power to come in and bargain for a better rate for the second one.
Yeah,
so
right.
they might be asking, you know, if you get The Rock in a Netflix film, he might ask for $40 million up front for a sequel.
Mm.
And while Netflix can fund anything they want, they do also appear to be quite fiscally responsible with this sort of stuff. So we will see. I think that's why Bright 2 with Will Smith, why that hasn't happened.
Yeah, okay.
Apart from the fact that the writer is a dirt bag.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Well, that kind of – I guess that makes sense. Now.
Anyway, yeah, that's so I did some digging into it because I would love to see a sequel to that. I think it sets up really nicely. This new character that comes in adds some fresh blood to the team and it's just a very cool premise. Soldiers of fortune for good. They don't always know if they're doing good, but the actions – they never see the result of their actions.
Interesting. Okay, I'm really you're making me more interested to watch it than I already was.
Well, I'm trying to be as coy about some of the reveals as I can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see, if someone can live for 1,000 years and they save someone, it might not be the act of saving that person, but that person's descendants might end up being important. So it's a little bit of this sort of thing of, oh man, maybe these people have actually shaped history.
Having to look down, they're having to look down many different paths. It's almost like they're playing a board game tactics.
They don't know that stuff. They never find out. There's a historian character
that
joins some dots and helps them understand how important they've been because they have no faith in what they've done.
Oh, okay. So please tell me that the historian works in a library, an old library.
Oh, it's not really a historian. It's I can never pronounce his name properly. He was Baron Mordo in Doctor Strange, fantastic English actor.
Yeah, he's been in heaps of stuff.
Yes, I can never pronounce his name and I feel awful about it.
He's been in 12 Years a Slave. Chiwetel?
That's it, Chiwetel. I've seen him. He's been in so many good things and he's a fantastic actor and he brings some serious gravitas to this role.
Mm.
And, yeah.
That sounds cool. All right, I'm going to...
It's worth your time.
You've swayed me even more.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I am going to stay on Netflix for a moment because I have watched about half of season 3 of The Norseman.
Mm.
Now, this is a prequel, so there's a lot of characters who, for some reason or other, Viking reasons, wouldn't have been in the third season if it was happening in chronological order.
Sure.
So the prequel is sort of going into explaining why some people may have been paired up with other people. A fan favorite is back, which is good. I don't want to give away too much in case like people haven't seen the second season. It's more of that hilarious Norseman comedy. The way that they... The way that their upward inflections, like we think as Australians, we have upward inflections.
We go up at the end of the sentence.
That's right. But they really do. And they really use it for comic purposes so much that the rhythm and flow itself is just amusing.
Nice.
And they do little references. Like there's this little bit where there's a couple of characters talking and they're watching people build things, you know, like, a guy carving wood, that kind of thing. And they're like, isn't it amazing? What, like, look, can you imagine people back in the olden days? They couldn't believe the sort of technology we have these days. Imagine if it was all taken away today. What would we do? We wouldn't know what to do. Very funny. If you liked Norseman, it's more of the same, and if you haven't watched it yet, watch it. It's sort of a piss take of Vikings, but made by people who are direct descendants of Vikings.
That's pretty cool.
That I just love that sense of humor. It's very funny. So, yeah, go and check it out. It's on Netflix now.
All right, keeping up the funny stuff. Yeah. I was stoked. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting because it was supposed to come back in like January, but Corporate Season 3 started this week on Comedy Central.
I'd forgotten that was...
I had not. It's only 6 episodes this season, very British, and this is the end of it.
Yeah, right.
And I can understand why they've held off because so many people have lost their jobs at the moment that watching a show pulling apart corporate entities isn't the funnest thing in the world, but oh my God, I've missed it.
So how far in have you gotten?
There's only been one episode.
Oh, they're doing one a week?
Yeah. And holy crap, this thing, it's okay, so – the two guys, they work for this company called Hampton Deville, and it's a huge conglomerate corporation that we don't really understand everything they do. They've got their fingers in everything. It's very dark.
Mm.
This first episode begins with the CEO going to this lady who we never find out exactly who, but groveling before her for the rights for Gilmore Girls because their newly launched streaming service is performing poorly.
Right.
And like, holy shit, this thing is just a takedown on Quibi. It's nothing but a takedown on Quibi. And it's so savage.
So do you think that they were 100% going for Quibi, or is Quibi just the
latest?
The fire? Yeah.
It's just this whole thing. Right. So it steamrolls because a huge show called like Future Tomorrow or something like that, and it's meant to be Game of Thrones, Lost, one of those big mystery things. It has their finale and the whole office watches it together, hates it. And so the CEO buys the rights to the show so they can remake the finale. He has to spend like fire 30% of the company's workforce to afford it.
This is like a combination of fan service, what everybody wants on the internet, and what they do with Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
And then they discover how difficult it is to write a good finale. Yeah. And they try and use data mining. It is absolutely hilarious. Yeah. I love this show so much. I can't believe there's only 6 episodes, but I'm thankful it is back.
Mm.
It will we work so closely to this stuff, and it's all using advertising jargon that we also work very closely with. The show is so squarely in my wheelhouse. It's insane.
Do you think if this first episode has been so solid, do you think that each week – it's just going to be another golden nugget of amazement.
So they have, for me, they have about a 75% hit rate of stunning.
That's good. That's really good.
And even the stuff that's not stunning, I still enjoy. And it's more because The show is not about character development whatsoever or any of that. It is putting these silly characters into different dark situations.
It's interesting that their very first episode of their final season is about shows not sticking the landing of the final episode. So it should be interesting. Oh,
it's a definite nod for hanging there.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
This ain't going to go how you want.
Speaking of things not going how you want, I sat down and watched Dead Don't Die. Now, we spoke about this a while ago, and we were both kind of interested in it, and then we heard lukewarm reviews, and I thought, I just want to watch it myself. You know, Bill Murray's in it. You've got Danny Glover, of course, Adam Driver's there, and a slew of other people. I really enjoyed the early pacing of the show a lot. I thought it was going quirky. There were bits that I didn't enjoy where they really broke the fourth wall, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm down with that bit. Tilda Swinton is brilliant. I think she's in her own movie, but
she's always in her own movie.
Exactly. But her entrance is phenomenal. It's everything you would think Tilda Swinton would be.
Okay.
Scottish accent and all. Brilliant. Absolutely nice. Brilliant. But the show's pacing never really ramped up. It bubbled the whole time.
That's Jim Jarmusch's thing. He doesn't let the pop happen.
Which can work, but I think with a zombie apocalypse movie, you'd need that. And it kind at the end, there was a sort of resolution, but I got bored. I watched the whole thing, but I was doing a jigsaw puzzle, and it was a Where's Wally one. So you can't spend a lot of time not looking at the box.
You go find Wally.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say to you, Tom,
I'm not going
to
watch it.
I don't think you need to watch it. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
there's enough out there.
I'll be all right. Hey, can I tell you one thing I'm not going to watch?
Yes.
I should have put this up earlier, but Celebrity Watch Party finished this week, which is the US Celebrity Gogglebox. And I quite enjoyed it. I watched it more and more, and the people got more and more comfortable, and Ozzy was fantastic.
So they were the
end.
Same people the whole way through?
Most of the time, the same way. JoJo, Ozzy, couple of news readers, couple of sportscasters, Master P, Reggie Bush.
Tyra Banks.
I think that's Curtis Stone.
Rob Lowe? Was he only in the first
one? So Rob Lowe was in the first episode. Okay. Justin Long was in the second one.
Right, okay.
They had a stunt celebrity most episodes and stuff. Anyway, I quite enjoyed that. But a new show has started this week that I won't be watching.
Uh-oh.
It's called Celebrity Call Center, or it might be Celebrity Help Center or something like that. And you can ring up and they've got celebrities that will have a chat on Zoom and give you their 2 cents about your situation.
So it's almost like...
So they're not experts. They're not registered or given the thumbs up to share or give advice.
Do you know who you're calling? Or you just get a random celebrity?
Random celebrity. And the celebrities that I saw on the lineup weren't that strong. I can't even remember who they were.
So you'd be better off going onto Twitch and finding an out-of-work actor.
Yep.
Who are playing, I don't know, Stardew Valley or something. And go into their chat and ask them a question.
Just pay on Cameo like everyone
else. Oh, yeah, Cameo, of course. Pay you $70.
Anyway, Celebrity Call Center, you can get fucked.
Is that all of our watching?
That's all my watching.
All right. Of course, there'll be more next week. But let's get into the quiz. Was it a TV show or a movie first?
Ooh.
Nah, I think this one is just going to be easy. It's a week where, you know, like everyone's a little exhausted from life. You've got a headache. I think this is just going to be nice and cruisy for you.
Hey, I'm holding it together though.
You're doing really well.
We're very, very well.
Well, we're almost at the end. Like I can see the finish line.
Nice. I have a twitch.
And you're not talking about a stream.
I'm talking about me left eye.
All right. So both have been movies and TV shows. You just have to tell me which was the original version.
Right.
Wayne's World.
That was TV on SNL.
So it was a skit. Yeah, well, it was a series of skits, yeah. I love those movies.
They're great. They hold up very well.
Do you remember Ed Harris? Ed Harris, say his name?
Yeah, and he gets to break – he
in the donut shop or something.
I think he's the only person other than Wayne and Garth who's allowed to break the fourth wall in the film.
That's right.
Where he's like stuck to the movies. Hey, this is not your movie.
Yeah. Always remember that bit. Beetlejuice.
Wow. movie. Mm. And then there was the animated and all the stuff. Mm. But
yeah. The animated show was more for kids, where
that movie is not for children.
But we all watched it when we were a kid, right?
Yep.
And it was a bit,
There's so much stuff that Linz is like, oh, watch that with Shay. I'm like, not yet, you won't.
Not yet. Just hang off a little bit.
Yep.
I think Mighty Ducks. She loves Mighty Ducks. She does, she could do that.
She wanted to sit down and show a Clueless the other day. I'm like, yo.
I understand why. I was 25 years old.
It's a great movie, but she's not ready for that.
She also probably would be a bit bored.
Yeah, and like she doesn't need to hear about rolling with the homies at a party with drinking and things. Not yet. Push.
What about Maverick?
Maverick?
Yeah. Do you remember Maverick?
Mel Gibson, yes. Gambler. I believe it's based on a TV show from the 50s or 60s. Yep.
Spot on, 1957 to 62. Yeah, it was one of those. They had a lot of them back then, like your Rawhide kind of. What was the one with the brothers? Was on for years and years and years.
Bonanza?
Yes, Bonanza. Thank you.
It was on my tongue. I know a bit about Maverick because when Movie World opened on the Gold Coast, the Wild West show was Maverick themed. It was the Maverick stage show. And there was a big introduction about how it had been an adaptation.
So I think Jodie Foster was in the movie as well.
I've never
seen the movie.
It's fine.
Yeah.
If you like Mel Gibson gambling on a boat in the 1800s, this is your film.
Probably just play Red Dead.
Yeah.
I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's going to be easy for you. Wet Hot American Summer.
Well, that was a movie way back in the day. Mm. Then there was another movie and then there was a series.
That's
right.
Correct? Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And
David Wayne directed from the state.
So in the movies you had what's his name? And then in the TV show, he was Adam Scott took over his character. What's his name? He was in that movie with Lady Gaga.
Bradley Cooper.
Thank you. I went completely blank. Yeah, because I remember thinking when I was watching the show, I'm like, this was not Adam Scott's character, and I couldn't remember who exactly. I was like, Bradley Cooper. That's right. Okay, Wolf Creek, Aussie stuff.
Oh, that was a film first, and then a series.
Haven't seen the show. I've seen the movie though. It was pretty scary.
I didn't see the show, but I did some promotional work for the show back in the day.
I think I may have interviewed somebody from the show who I didn't know.
I got to have a chat with John Jarrett.
That would have been good. I would have known John.
I wanted to ask him some DIY tips, but I got told not appropriate. They don't tell you about that when you're doing celeb interviews. So if you show up with a list of things that you want to talk about and they might have their person takes a look and then, not that one today, not today.
So that's their nice way of saying you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
The not today.
Not today.
Okay. What if you've like organized your whole hilarious thing around that?
You're fucked.
Yeah.
But here's the best part is most of the time that decision is not being made by the actor. It's their publicist of, hey, I'm not here to promote that work. Mm. They're here to promote this. Mm. So don't talk about it.
I guess that's
fair.
That's
all it was.
I guess that's fair.
It was no knock on him. He was a champion.
Yeah. Final one.
Mm.
Reno 911.
Oh, it's a show.
Mm.
A long-running show. Hilarious. I think they got seven seasons, then they did the movie, and then they've done the Quibi episodes.
So what surprises me is that the movie Reno 911 Miami was 2007.
Yeah.
That sounds like ages ago. I was like, 2013 maybe.
No, it was when they were still filming the show.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I think the thing in my head is that I was buying the DVDs so I could watch them whenever I wanted, and I think I was stocking up around 2007, 2008. So for me, that's when I think of the show.
Sure.
Because that's when I was just binge watching them. Such a funny show. And because I got them on DVD, I can watch them anytime.
Whenever you like.
Well done. You absolutely nailed that quiz.
Thanks. That's in my wheelhouse.
You did it. Yeah.
Film and television technicalities.
We don't need things to be hard all the time. Boom.
No.
Thank you very much for coming along and playing, even though your eye's twitching, you've got a headache.
Muchas gracias, señorita.
Whoa, so Espanol. If you've got a watching suggestion, a quiz idea, a question, a would you rather, You can send them all in to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Having said that, it's now time to hear from Tom.
I want justice for Speedy Gonzalez.